The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Boris Johnson has arrived in Aberdeen on his way to see the British Queen to formally hand in his resignation as Prime Minister. In advance of his departure, he was speaking outside number 10 Downing Street. Here's some of what he had to say.
The torch will finally be passed to a new Conservative leader. The baton will be handed over in what has unexpectedly turned out to be a relay race. They changed the rules halfway through, but never mind that now. And through that lacquered black door, a new Prime Minister will shortly go to meet a fantastic group of public servants. The people who got Brexit done, the people who delivered the fastest vaccine rollout in Europe, and never forget, 70% of the entire population got a dose within 6 months, faster than any comparable country. That is government for you. That's this Conservative government. People who organised those prompt early supplies of weapons to the heroic Ukrainian armed forces, an action that may very well have helped change the course of the biggest European war for 80 years.
Boris Johnson's farewell speech this morning outside number 10, putting a positive slant on his premiership until the very end, after Liz Truss won the race to succeed him as Tory party leader. To discuss what issues she'll need to focus on in the short to medium term, I'm joined now by writer, consultant, strategist and mental health campaigner Alistair Campbell and Ulster Unionist party leader and MLA for Upper Band Doug Beattie. And Alistair Campbell, to start with you, there have been very few people who have been more ardent critics of Boris Johnson than you. Is today there for a good day, or is it a case of be careful of for what you wish for?
I don't think it'll be a good day until the politics that he represents is gone. And what I found extraordinary about his farewell speech was that there was not a hint of humility, not a hint of contrition, not a hint of acceptance that actually he'd behaved in such a way that even the Conservative Party decided he had to go. Lie upon lie about his so-called achievements. I'm sure that lots of people in Northern Ireland, as they continue to see the fallout from the arguments over the protocol, every time he says we got Brexit done, as though it's now sort of nothing to worry about, these 40 new hospitals that are a myth. So I'm very, very glad to see the back of him, but I still can't help thinking that we've done incredible damage to ourselves as a country just for the fact that he was there at all.
Do you believe that he was representative of a problem with the country, or causative of a problem with the country? Because surely you get the politicians that the nation actually wants.
I think it's both. I think he is both a symptom and a cause. I think part of what's wrong with our country at the moment is not just our politics, but our media culture as well. We're seeing that now with Liz Truss. The same newspapers which presented Boris Johnson as some kind of messiah and Theresa May, they're now doing the same with Liz Truss. We don't have a mature media culture. We have a media that is largely driven by what has become known now as client journalism. It's almost part of politics as opposed to covering politics. And he was a symbol of that. And of course, it's not just in the UK. You know, Trump in America, Bolsonaro in Brazil, Modi in India, Erdogan in Turkey, Putin in Russia. In many ways, was a harbinger. He's the guy who operated a strategy of deliberately debasing truth and fact. And I think that's what Johnson has done in our politics. And the fact that Liz Truss has so tied herself so close to Johnson means that actually I'm not sure that we're going to get that much of a change. The gaslighting is...
Even if you got a change at senior political level, Alistair, how do you put the genie back in the bottle in relation to what that media approach has created in the body politic?
I think it's going to be very, very hard, because it's part of the broader polarisation that has happened in our politics. You know, you have... One of the problems with large parts of our media now is that they're not really covering politics; they're political participants, they're players in the game, if you like. And I think that has changed. Now, you've always had elements of that in our politics, but I think it's gone to a completely different level. So the honest answer is, that's why I say I won't celebrate until the politics that he represents has gone. But how we do get back to that sort of fact-based political debate, where people are actually prepared to say, yes, that is a problem. And yes, that is a problem where we have to maybe trade and make compromises and so forth. Instead of which, the approach that he, and I'm afraid Liz Truss as well, take to political problems is to gaslight, insult your opponents. I mean, there's a classic example for me, the one that when I actually frankly stopped following the leadership election was when both Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss were asked about honesty and whether Boris Johnson was honest. And they basically have ducked the question, but said, you will always get the truth from me. You will always get honesty from me. The very next question was whether the 7-hour queues at the time that were happening at Dover had anything to do with Brexit. And they both rushed to say, no, nothing to do with Brexit. Now, that's the same politics. It's basically saying, we have a problem, but we don't want to address the real reasons for that problem. We want to blame the French because that's an easier game to play. And I'm afraid that's not serious politics. And one of the problems, one of the reasons we've now had 4 prime ministers from the same party in 6 years is because we haven't had serious politics, I'm afraid, since the Brexit referendum.
What is your expectation of Liz Truss as prime minister? Because she comes in into the teeth of fairly significant economic crises. I mean, inflation rates predicted to run into the high teens. You have the energy crisis with wholesale gas prices spiking by 30% yesterday alone. It's quite the situation to face into in a new premiership.
Absolutely. It's tough. And again, that's why I thought that Johnson's speech was so utterly absurd, because he's leaving behind, not all of his making, but many of them his making. He's leaving behind a set of problems that would test any prime minister. No, look, it's important for a country like Britain that we have a prime minister who's capable, but I can't pretend that I've seen something in her that makes me think she's up to the scale of the challenge. And I think that the leadership election has been incredibly dispiriting. There's been no sense of a big picture for Britain. There's been no sense of actually what is going to be done to tackle the energy crisis. There will be a plan, I'm sure.
Although to some extent, Alistair, is that a function of the electorate to which she was appealing? The Conservative Party
totally.
Electorate is a very small minority of the overall populace. So maybe we will see a pivot to broader concerns, no?
Yeah, possibly. She's definitely shown herself capable of doing that in that, you know, she used to be a Lib Dem, she used to be a Remainer. She clearly is somebody who's prepared to, you know, stand on her head if it helps her at that time, and she's become prime minister. So, look, I put it this way. I hope there is a pivot. I hope that actually we start to see a prime minister who takes serious problems seriously. But everything, just to take an issue that I know is you guys have talked about an awful lot, just to take the issue of the protocol, Northern Ireland protocol, she said nothing during that leadership election that made me think she's even thinking about it, let alone that she fully understands the, you know, the potential difficulties that she's facing on that front alone.
But will a bit of realpolitik not take hold when she realises that to push the route that she was pushing before brings her into a potential trade war with the EU at a time when she needs nothing like that?
Well, I certainly hope so, Anton. I certainly hope so. But don't forget as well that the reason that she has come through is in large part because of the sorts of people who backed her. And the sorts of people that backed her, if it's true, for example, that she's putting Rees-Mogg in as Secretary of State for Business, Kwasi Kwarteng as Chancellor, very, very right wing. She's beholden to the European Research Group, who were even yesterday making little mumbling, threatening noises about, you know, what we've seen there is somebody's going to stick to a very, very conservative right wing agenda. She will, you know, and she doesn't, as you say, I have very little good to say about Boris Johnson. I think he's been the worst prime minister in our history, but he had certain political skills, which I'm not convinced she has. She's a terrible orator. We saw that yesterday. Even her great tribute to Boris Johnson fell completely flat in a room full that was, a room that was desperate to cheer him. So I don't know is the honest answer, but I hope there's a pivot. I hope there are people around her. But these are exactly the same hopes that we expressed about Donald Trump and about Boris Johnson, both of whose leaderships ended in abject failure.
Well, can I ask if that parallel is going to continue? Because one of the things that Boris Johnson has proven to be very successful at has been making money over the years. And he himself has said that the time has come to, I think his phrase was, to put hay in the loft over the next while. Donald Trump has proven that from his perspective, staying relevant and staying in the public discourse is both a way to get paid and a way to potentially keep your political life alive. Is the same going to be true for Boris Johnson? Is he going to be incentivized to carp from the sidelines to be a constant presence in the political system, even if he isn't prime minister?
Well, right to the end, he was sort of full of half-truths and deceptions. And I've got no doubt at all that his classical reference was all about him coming back at some point. I think he thinks he can come back. Now, I think he's deluded in that. But the Conservative Party is so kind of off the wall at the moment that he'll be thinking, you can't rule it out. I see him more as a Berlusconi figure than a Trump. And the thing about money, I mean, it's quite interesting how, you know, he's from a wealthy background. He's had well-paid jobs all his life. He's clearly, you know, wants to make a lot of money. I'm not sure he'll be quite as big a hit on the international speaking market as he thinks. I mean, he is an entertainer. I'll give him that. But I think that I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know the guy well enough. I can't read him well enough. But he will hate not being the center of attention. And he will try to stay as the centre of attention. And I think today he was laying the ground for that.
Alistair, thank you very much. That's Alistair Campbell, writer, consultant, strategist, mental health campaigner, and of course, director of communications in the Blair government. Doug Beattie is with us as well. He's Ulster Unionist Party leader and MLA for Upper Ban. Doug, after the manner in which you were betrayed by Boris Johnson, do you see an ally in Liz Truss?
The answer is we don't know. She has only just become the Prime Minister, or will do later on today. And we have to look to see what her policies are going to be. We have to see what the detail is. And then we have to react to it. There's no point deconstructing something when it hasn't already come out, so we understand what it's going to be. So we need to sit back and just give it a bit of time. But what we do know is we need an absolute change of focus. We need to get stability into the United Kingdom. We've lost that stability so that people have confidence in the United Kingdom and the United Kingdom economy. And we need to build relationships again where relationships have been damaged. And then we must deal with this cost of living crisis, which is affecting so many people. And it's not a strapline. This is a lived experience. People are not going to be able to get through this. And the statistics I have seen for January and February are pretty grim. So there's an awful lot of work that needs to be done there, not least trying to deal with what's going on in Northern Ireland.
Can I go to that matter, Doug, in relation to what's happening in Northern Ireland? The phrase that you use about stability, in terms of stability, she has provided the opposite in relation to Northern Ireland. And in terms of building relationships, she has provided the opposite in relation to Northern Ireland. So are you expecting a change in previous behaviour?
Well, when you say she's created the opposite, what I say is that we have looked at and the last year has been spent circling around a landing zone that both the UK government and the EU know is the right landing zone, and we haven't really got to being able to touch down. With her taking over as the Prime Minister, I'm hoping that will reopen negotiations again in order to get to that place that we need to be. We will succeed if we have negotiations, if we all sit in the room, stop poking each other in the eye, and come up with solutions to the problems that we face. And that will happen if they include Northern Ireland politicians, or at least listen to us and business here in Northern Ireland, so we can outline the problems that are facing some businesses and those who are doing very, very well from the.
And does that mean, Doug, to abandon the notion of legislating unilaterally rather than coming to a deal?
No, it doesn't mean abandoning it at all. I mean, you've got to go into negotiations, but what we can't do is just continue doing what we're doing now. We can't just keep talking in the round about the same thing when everybody knows what the landing zone is. So we have to come to a culmination in some shape or form. The Northern Ireland Protocol Bill doesn't get rid of the protocol. It doesn't fix many of the issues in regards to the protocol, but it moves us in a direction that we need to go. But as a party, we are quite clear. We think the executive should be up and running now, and we should be talking between the UK and the EU to come up with the solutions around the Northern Ireland Protocol. Nobody can argue about talking to each other and being honest and fixing the problems that we have. How can anybody argue against that?
Has she or any of her senior team reached out to the UUP yet?
Well, not yet, but I met Liz Truss a number of months ago and had a conversation with her about what I think we needed to do and how it would work. I mean, we have to remember that the Ulster Unionist Party line, as far back as 2019, is what is was in the UK command paper in 2021, and is actually now the landing zone that the EU and the UK see and are circling around. So what we've been very consistent that the protocol, and I've got to be clear with you if I can, there are businesses out there who are benefiting from the protocol, but there are also businesses out there who are absolutely on their knees. So we need to level that up in some shape or form. And what I'm saying is we could do that by honest negotiations.
Would you accept that there are a lot more of the former than there are of the latter?
Well, no, I don't accept that because there's no statistical evidence to say there's more of the former or there's more of the latter. I mean, there's people who are very vocal. I've been in many businesses right across all of the sectors, and I have been honest with people and said this business is doing very, very well. I visited a dairy farm just recently, and that dairy farm is doing very, very well from the protocol. But I've also visited other businesses, and they're saying to me, Doug, if this continues, then we will simply not survive. So I'm not saying that there's a former of one or the other. The fact is that surely we should be doing something that benefits all business.
Doug Beattie, thank you very much. That is Doug Beattie, who is Ulster Unionist Party leader and MLA for Upper Bant.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.